managed a smile that masked her panic about what to say. She couldn't tell the truth, namely that she was secretly intimidated by a job described in the Constitution of the United States, or that she only looked the part in a Chanel suit of butterscotch tweed donned like overpriced armor.
"Keep it short, Kate." Judge William Sasso formed a megaphone with his hands. "It's past my bedtime."
Judge Gloria Sullivan chuckled.
"Give her a break, Bill. We listen to you, and God knows what a trial that can be."
"No, he's right." Kate gathered her nerve. "Thank you for this lovely dinner, everyone. You said a lot of nice things about me tonight, and I just want you to know, I deserve every single word."
"At last, an honest judge."
Chief Judge Sherman burst into laughter, as did the others. The young waiter smiled, hovering by the wall. The judges clapped, shouting,
"Way to go! Well done!"
"Thank you, and good night." Kate mock bowed and caught the waiter's eye, then looked away. She accepted the congratulations and goodbyes as the judges rose to leave, collecting their briefcases and bags. She grabbed her purse, and they all walked to the door, filing out of the Four Seasons restaurant. On the way out, Kate felt a soft touch on her arm and turned to see Chief Judge Sherman, tall and stooped at her shoulder, his sterling silver hair slightly frizzy.
"Don't look so happy, kiddo. You're taking a major pay cut."
Kate laughed. "Chief, you give fixed income a good name." Chief Judge Sherman laughed, as did Judge Jonathan Meriden, who fell into stride. Meriden was 50-something, conventionally handsome, with sandy hair going to gray, and a fit, if short, stature. Kate had a legal history with Meriden. When they were both in practice, he'd tried a securities case against her, and ended up losing the jury verdict and the client. Tonight, he'd acted as if all was forgotten. So, he'd sucked it up, or warmed to her, with Glenn Levitt's help. They walked out of the lobby into the humid summer night, and Kate played the good hostess, waiting until everyone had dispersed to grab the last cab. Inside, she leaned against the black vinyl as the cab lurched into light traffic. Its tires rumbled on the gritty streets, wet from an earlier thunderstorm. The air conditioning blew only faintly, and Kate eyed the rain-slick buildings like a stranger to the city. She'd lived in Philadelphia since law school, but her heart wasn't in the city. She'd grown up in the mountains, in a small town erased from the map. Kate still felt a twinge at the thought, even though she knew she wasn't supposed to care about her hometown anymore. She was pretty sure the official cutoff was fourth grade. Kate's head began to ache. Today she'd presided over opening arguments in her first major trial, a construction contract case with damages of $50 million. Fleets of pricey lawyers from New York had filed special appearances, and the witness lists contained more PhDs than most colleges. It was a bench trial, with no jury to make the decision, but at least it was a civil case. Kate already sentenced four men to federal prison, which was four too many. The cab was stifling, and Kate lowered the window. A breeze blew in, too sticky to offer any relief, and she unbuttoned the top of her silk blouse. She felt the weight of her pearls like a noose. The night sky was black and starless, and the full moon a spotlight. She leaned back against the seat, but her chignon got in the way, so she loosened it with her fingers. She looked idly out the window. Couples walked together, their arms wrapped around each other, their hips bumping. A handsome man in a white Oxford shirt dashed across the street, his tie flying. The cab turned onto one of the skinny back streets that scored Center City, no more than an alley with rusted blue dumpsters lining the curb. Kate caught a whiff of the rotting smell. "The scenic route, huh?"
"It's faster than south," the driver said,
and the cab slowed to a stop sign, waiting for someone to cross the street. Kate eyed a run-down tavern on the corner. Dell and Roy's flickered a failing neon sign, and graffiti blanketed its brick. Its side window was covered with plywood, though an amber glow emanated from yellow plexiglass in the front door, which was the only indication the bar wasn't abandoned. "It's Miller time," Kate thought. The line from an old TV commercial. Her mother used to drink Miller. The champagne of bottled beer.
"I'll get out here," she said suddenly, digging in her purse for the fare.